been visited by our friends right here at Marie Stops. By the way, when I say right here, I mean the one, I don't know which is closest, the one at Lugogo or the smaller branch like at Namuongo. I don't know which one is closer, but our closest branch is the to me. Now, today we're going to be talking about something that I think, ladies, you need to come closer, closen yourself. And we are so honored to be having Dr. Walani amidst us in the studio. Thank you very much for coming through. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm Dr. Walina.
Dr. Walina.
Yes.
Walina. What did I say earlier?
Walani.
Walani. Mm-hmm. Walina.
With an accent, though.
Walina, Dr. Walina. That's a nice name, by the way. I'm just saying, it's good to appreciate.
Thank you.
Yes, and because I know you're a very busy man, especially when it comes to health, you might get an emergency call right now. But I need all the information I can get from you before somebody calls you out of this studio.
My phone is in airplane mode, so I'm all yours.
We are very honored. Whom could we be? We're very important people. Now, I wanted to begin real quick by asking what laparoscopy is and what condition is managed by laparoscopy. I hope I'm even pronouncing it right because I've never heard of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Laparoscopy, commonly known as pinhole surgery, commonly known as camera. So, laparoscopy is a new type of surgery where you're using the smallest instruments, probably the size of a pen, to perform a surgery that is maybe inside the abdomen.
Oh.
Yes. So we use it for different conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Commonly is maybe in treatment of fertility disorders, but also if you have a fibroid. We choose patients carefully on when to do laparoscopy.
Okay.
As compared to the conventional way of doing surgery, where you make a big incision, commonly known as a cut, to retrieve anything to perform a surgery with bare hands.
Mm.
We're now using pinhole, small incisions on the abdomen, like two or three, and then you do the surgery from outside.
That is already advantage number one, scarring.
Yes, so the ladies, if you still need to put on your bikini.
Yes, we do.
Yes, for the ladies, the younger ladies, even the old, in case you don't have to get a big scar, the mask becomes a good choice for you.
Yes.
Another advantage is the pain after surgery, the post-surgical pain is less. As compared to the conventional surgery.
Yes.
And again, for the people who have busy schedules and they need to get back to work so soon, we are talking about a recovery time of maybe 2-3 weeks as compared to the 1 or 2 months when you're still struggling with a wound.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that the recovery time is a little bit faster. As well as the hospital stay, in the current times, we do surgery today, you're at home the following day by evening.
Mm-hmm.
So laparoscopy becomes a good choice, and it's already catching pace on the Ugandan market.
Yes.
Most of the hospitals are beginning to embrace it, and in these times where people have fertility issues, it becomes a good choice.
You talked about fibroids, and you choose which patients can go through laparoscopy if they have fibroids. So my question would be, can it really be used in the management of fibroids?
Yes. The mainstay and the gold standard of fibroids is removing them, having them removed.
Yes.
Usually, when we are choosing patients for removal, especially by laparoscopy, we have to choose them carefully. We usually prefer having 1 or 2 fibroids, and they should be at least less than 7 centimeters in diameter. The scan will tell you the diameter.
Yes.
So that the advantage of choosing patients carefully for laparoscopy, especially removing a fibroid, is to shorten the time of surgery.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But the open one, for it, it doesn't matter the size. That's the only advantage it has.
Mm-hmm.
So in these eras where we diagnose fibroids in their early stages, laparoscopy comes in handy when it's just a small fibroid.
However, I've heard this statement that even though you remove it, whether you do the old version of operation where you cut it, you cut somebody open or laparoscopy, I've been told that there's always a chance that your fibroids will grow back. Is that true or false?
The chances of returning are there.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that you should keep with the disease.
Yes.
Yes. They are so big and making you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They're disturbing your way of life. Some ladies will bleed excessively to the yes. point of transfusion. Just because they recur doesn't mean that you shouldn't remove them.
Okay.
They've taken long to grow. So okay. they'll equally take that time for you when you're well.
Yes.
And now another case scenario is when you may be nearing menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already making you too sick.
Mm-hmm.
So removing them becomes a good choice.
The better option.
So that when you get in menopause, the chances of recurrence are completely varied or close to none.
Okay.
Yes.
I like. Okay, thank God. Now, there's something I've been seeing so many ladies talk about, and I will not lie. About 10 years ago, I did not know about it. And it's called, let me read it, endometriosis. What exactly is that? And could you please tell us a little bit about it? How to handle it? What are the signs? How do we know, especially even the men, how can they help their partners deal with endometriosis?
Yes. Endometriosis is a very complex disease, and it's quite progressive.
Mm.
Now, endometriosis is when you're having the inner lining of the uterus. That's the lining where the baby sits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same lining where you get your periods.
Yes.
It sheds off.
Yes.
And you see it as a period blood. Now, you can have this similar lining growing elsewhere other than the inner lining of the inner part of the uterus. It can grow on the tubes, it can be on the ovary, it can be on the gut. Worst case, lungs. Worst case, brain.
What?
We've seen those. That's one in a million.
Yes.
So you're having this inner lining. So no, whenever you're getting a period, all these other parts that are having this inner lining of the uterus are also shedding off. So comes to the pain that comes. Wherever it is, you're going to have similar pain. So, commonest presentation of endometriosis would be bad cramps.
Mm-hmm.
Severe. Excruciating.
Yes.
Symptoms of cramps. And other people will present with a failure to conceive. And the cramps were never, I'll just take my pill and life continues.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem to bother them. And until they are ready to conceive and the infertility sets in.
Yes.
And then before you notice, this inner lining uterus has grown in the tubes and has caused the blockage. So that's where you can make a diagnosis that you've been having endometriosis and you didn't know. The other time, the other way it can present, you just have to listen to the patient. In there is always the story.
Mm.
So say I'm having this, I've moved out of three relationships, and when you dig into the story, you find out that this lady is actually having difficulty having intercourse.
Yes.
And it's painful.
It's painful, yeah.
Yes, so you're having this patient having, the people of science calls it dyspareunia, but just painful intercourse.
Yes.
So that's another way endometriosis might show.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other one is maybe wherever else the endometriomas are, or this inner lining is. If it's on the colon, someone might have colon symptoms. Diarrhea, pain in blood in stool, pain on passing stool, constipation sometimes, so all that.
Wow.
So patients will have this type of problems, and they'll come and tell you the whole story. So you just have to connect the dots.
Wow. So basically, and I really want to get,
yes.
I want you to get, like, and this is from a father who has a daughter. Eh?
Mm.
This also affects younger females, right?
Yes, there's the usual cramp-like pains that might affect the younger children, but we have this beginning after 22, 23,
yes.
24. That's when we make a definitive diagnosis,
okay.
And it's always devastating. It keeps on progressing.
Mm.
Yes, so that is briefly about endometriosis.
Wow.
Treatment modalities, again, diagnostic laparoscopy, and sometimes we can have to just have to remove these endometriomas. Still laparoscopically.
Mm-hmm.
There's no role of open surgery in management of endometriosis.
Yes.
The mainstay and gold standard is always laparoscopy. You make a diagnosis and management effective immediately.
Right.
So when we say we're going in for a diagnostic, maybe a scan can help us. We have something called an endoscan.
Yes.
The endoscan we do it at Mary Stops. It helps. It's mainly aimed at diagnosis. But also it stages, tells you where to look when you're going in with a camera and instruments.
like this.
And also plan for the surgery. When if you have this attached to the colon, you really need a colorectal surgeon on the team. So it helps us. It helps you gather the team that is going to do this surgery.
I like that.
That's briefly about endometriosis.
I'd like to talk a little bit about infertility, but we're going to do that after this small break. When we come back, let's talk about that. We have our doctor from Murray Stops talking about some of these things that really affect us women. One of them being fibroids. And I know there was a time on Twitter, everybody was on fibroids this, fibroids that. We blame you women. You chose to take long to give birth. We're talking anything and everything to do with the surgery that so many of us ladies might need, especially when it comes to things like fibroids, endometriosis. I hope I'm saying that right. And I wanted to ask our doctor something as we continue this conversation. If you could please take us through infertility and how laparoscopy, I like the way you say it, I don't say it right. How does it come into the management of infertility?
Yes, thank you very much.
And, do you know the causes of infertility? Drop everything. All those things,
Okay. Talking about infertility, it's becoming a progressive problem. People have been quiet about infertility. And my opening remarks at infertility, it affects couples. From the word couple, means it has a female factor and a male factor as well.
Okay.
And a female factor contributing up to 60%. The male factor is beginning to catch pace to now 40. At some point it was 25. It's going to 40. And we don't know why. Maybe more people are beginning to seek care when we're beginning to make a diagnosis. So infertility is defined by failure by a couple, strictly a couple, failing to achieve clinical pregnancy after 1 year of regular unprotected intercourse.
Yes.
Now, 2 months into a relationship and you're already reporting the doctor's door with infertility problems, then we smile it off.
Like,
we usually try, we reassure, go and keep trying. So usually say a year of failed intercourse. I mean, a year of failing to conceive, that's when we start worrying that there's a problem. And we run, Mary Stopes Hospital has a fertility clinic. We literally see patients every day. We have gyns in that will see couples with fertility problems.
Couples. Not me walking in alone.
Walking in alone is still, if you say that, some people are discreet in their medical care.
Yes.
And women might walk in without telling the man and find out if they are okay. Especially when this person knows that the male partner already has children.
Yeah.
So she might think, I am the problem. Yeah, so she goes in and tries to find out what the problem is.
Okay.
So the doors are open. Again, a man might be having in a relationship where a woman already has a child.
And
when he has never gotten a woman pregnant. So he also walks in and say, I need to know if I'm okay.
Yes.
Still again, my stops doors are open. You just come in and find out what the problem is.
Yes.
Am I capable? We would do a semen analysis for a man. We do your count, see how much volume the counts. We are looking at maybe 20 to 100 million.
Yes.
Per meal.
Oh, okay.
Hey, one small meal should have. So we're beginning to see men coming in and it's completely zero.
Is it possible for a man to have a child or two or three and then after some time he becomes infertile? Is that possible?
Old age might be a good one.
Okay.
Drug abuse might be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We're having this cropping up behavior where men are beginning to use the gym and they're using steroids. A good significant side effect to the male hormone, and then it will affect the testes from producing.
And this also applies to women also.
For the women,
you had children before, but now you're in this new relationship, for example, and you can't seem to get pregnant. So is it possible for you to have been fertile, and then 10 years later, nothing is happening?
Yes, crossing to the female side now, where the female factor will look at different aspects. You have the uterine factor. This is the bug that is going to meiosis. You're looking at other factors like uterine fibroids. That can affect.
Yes.
Then that is just one factor. We have the tube factor. remember our sires were having sperm going up through the uterus to the tube.
Mm.
Now, should the tube be blocked, then the sperm is never going to meet the egg.
Yeah.
So, if you have a tube fracture, maybe chronic PID, you've had a lot of infections and all that, that can affect the tubes.
Yes.
Now, from there you go to the other factor, which is the ovarian factor.
Okay.
This is where the ovaries is where the eggs come from. Advanced age can give you a reduced ovarian reserve. And that one can, that's why we usually say please have children at a tender age when you still have significant. You don't form any new eggs, you're born with about 400,000.
But we are that would mean we are going against our fathers who told us to first go to school, university, get master's, PhD, get a job, then get married. By the time I finish PhD, I'm 40.
That's
and the Bible says, honor your parents. Now, what do you want us to do, the girl
child? I feel you, right?
You cannot come home, you know, African parents, you cannot come home with Jaluo's daughter. Oh no, and then it's like, has he married you? So you're having premarital sex and we're having all these issues.
While
you're
having that talk, you notice that one of the photos in the room. You're the little one in their wedding gown.
But they did it, but now they don't want us to do
so
it.
So I'll keep it at that, but you'll notice that you'll be the little one when you're in a wedding gown.
Me, I was a flower girl, what do you say? Very true.
Yes.
So that's why you encourage us to actually to get pregnant.
Yes, the ovarian reserve starts dwindling down the road, down as when you exceed about 30, 35. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The drastic decrease in the ovarian reserve is real. And then we start talking about ovulation induction, we start looking at donor eggs.
Yeah.
And again, to maybe give a small sneak peek about artificial reproductive technologies, we are now doing assisted reproductive technologies for those who are struggling with fertility.
Yeah.
So you need to come find out where the problem is, and we can tell you. We have IVF, we have ICSI, all that is there to...
All this is available in Uganda.
They're available in Uganda. So we're here to manage you. We are here to point you the right direction. So in case you have challenges, come find out where the problem is and the advice on where to go and how to do it. If we can be managed locally, we can manage you.
I love this.
Yes, so pass by...